friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Yaoundé, Cameroon, where the draw was held Tuesday evening for the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. 24 teams were divided into six groups for the African football showpiece, which begins January 9th, 2022 in Yaoundé. Group A has host Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, and Cape Verde. In Group B, it's Senegal, Zimbabwe, Guinea, and Malawi. Group C has Morocco, Ghana, Gabon, and Nations Cup debutante Comoros. In Group D, it's Nigeria, Egypt, Sudan, and Guinea-Bissau. Group E has defending Nations Cup champion Algeria, Sierra Leone, Equatorial Guinea, and Ivory Coast. Finally, in Group F, it's Tunisia, Mali, Mauritania, and Nations Cup debutante Gambia. The opening match on January 9th will feature five-time Nations Cup champion Cameroon hosting Burkina Faso, runners-up in 2013. In addition to the capital, Yaoundé, four other Cameroonian cities will stage matches: Douala, Garoua, Bafoussam, and Limbé. The Nations Cup final will be played on February 6, 2022 in Yaoundé.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
In more football news, superstar Lionel Messi's recent move to Paris Saint-Germain is expected to provide a boost to Rwanda's tourism industry. Joining us now from Kigali is Eugene Uimana. Sporty greetings, Eugene.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Indeed, the news of Paris Saint-Germain signing Lionel Messi was highly appreciated here in Rwanda. Photos and the videos of him since he arrived in Paris are trending on different social media platforms. The thing is, he's going to wear the Visit Rwanda logo on his back for 2 years or more.
Hey. Messi's transfer to Paris Saint-Germain as a club that has a partnership with Visit Rwanda and boosting tourism in Rwanda in general, I would say personally as a Rwandan, it gave me a sense of pride.
Messi is a great deal at Rwanda because of his stature, his ability, his what he has achieved in the world of football. He's probably one of the greatest players of football that has ever lived. And to even achieve that as a current player, it makes him even more a great of a man. And, you know, for him to sign for PSG, which are the current partners of Visit Rwanda tourism campaign, it even makes it more interesting for Rwanda and Rwandans.
In 2019, Rwanda inked a three-year deal with the French football giant PSG to promote tourism and certain Rwandan brands. Rwandan tea and coffee are exclusively sold at Le Parc des Princes, the home stadium of PSG, with a capacity of close to 48,000. The Rwanda PSG deal puts the Visit Rwanda logo on the French soccer champions' training kit and sees the brand gain visibility on the playing kit sleeve of the PSG women's teams. Rwanda Development Board says Messi to PSG means a lot. Ariela Kajelka is the acting chief tourism officer.
For instance, since Messi got signed with to play for the PSG, we had an increase of followers. So that's the kind of leverage that we are able to see as we continue to aggressively campaign for Visit Rwanda.
Messi's move sparked a huge influx of new social media followers. PSG's Instagram followers increased by over 4 million in less than 24 hours. Rwandan officials believe millions of people are discovering the country's tourism campaign for the first time. Even for Rwanda's Cristiano Ronaldo fans, the country's PSG deal comes first. This is Ethan Tashobia, a fan of Manchester United.
I'm not a big fan of Messi because, I've already supported Manchester United, and that says a lot about how I see him as compared to Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo is my favorite. For me, I'm happy that he's crossing to the Visit Rwanda partners. It's a huge thing, and I'm very, very pleased with Messi joining Paris Saint-Germain.
Political analyst Oswald Mutuyezu says the coming of Messi to PSG silences critics of the Rwandan government, who say a poor country could not have invested in European football teams.
It will also contribute to the cut of criticism directed towards the Rwandan leaders. You know, some organizations, some international media criticized Rwanda when Rwanda invested this amount of money in this partnership with Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain.
Meanwhile, Rwandan sports analyst Sam Kalisa says everyone knows someone who started supporting PSG for the sake of Leo Messi.
Messi is one of these people who has a very, very big fanship and followership as well. So I personally know more than 10 people who declared themselves as PSG fans the moment Messi declared himself a PSG player.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we will celebrate the records, the medals and the victories of Africa's greatest athletes at the Tokyo Olympics. We'll also look at what it would take to bring the Summer Olympics to Africa. We'll examine what kind of investment would be needed and whether Africans really want to host the Games. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. We heard Heidi say how Straight Talk Africa will be looking at what it will take to bring the Summer Olympics to Africa. My VOA colleague, Mariama Jallo, looks now at some of the issues involved in such an Olympic undertaking.
African athletes brought home gold, silver, and bronze medals from the delayed 2020 Tokyo Games. In Kenya, thousands cheered Eliud Kipchoge, who won the men's marathon. But one fan had a special request.
We are very happy, all of us from Rift Valley and Kenyans as a whole, just to implore our leaders to address the issue of stadiums like the Kipchoge Stadium. And today, Kipchoge has shown the world that we are more than capable.
For many countries, it's just too expensive, says Andrew Zimbalist, editor of Rio 2016, Olympic Myths, Hard Realities.
You might read, for instance, that in Tokyo this year, they spent roughly $15 billion, or that in Brazil in Rio in 2016, they spent roughly $12 or $13 billion. But the real numbers in Tokyo are above $35 billion. The real number in Rio is above $20 billion.
Zimbalist says developing countries face even more cost.
They don't have the necessary transportation and communications and security and hospitality infrastructure. So the amount of money they have to invest to do it is much, much larger. And the problem is that more often than not, you're constructing infrastructure for the purpose of hosting the games, not for the purpose of solving development bottlenecks in your country.
For now, Senegal is preparing to host the first Youth Olympic Games in 2026. Experts say that event requires about one-third of the investment needed for the Olympic Games.
There are expectations from the whole African continent, and Senegal has to organize games that would live up to the standards of previous Youth Olympics. And because of that, Senegal is going to make sure it's a success.
Et par rapport à cela, le Sénégal se donnera tous les moyens. pour que cette organisation soit une réussite.
Watt says plans are well underway.
Ce qui était prévu, c'est de procéder à la rénovation de trois infrastructures principales.
We are planning to first renovate three main venues, the Ibamar Diop Stadium, which will host track, rugby and other sports, and there's also our Olympic pool, which needs to be renovated. It has an adjacent park, which will host a few events such as the BMX freestyle, basketball three-on-three, and hockey games. There is also the Cassone Samba Dieri Diallo, where the equestrian-related events will take place.
Et il y a enfin la caserne Samba Dieri Diallo où les épreuves équestres sont prévues.
He also says there will be venues in other hubs outside the capital Dakar, such as a popular seaside resort area and in Jamnyajo, where last year President Macky Sall led the groundbreaking of a new 50,000-seat stadium. Sall said this new stadium could be used for future local and international competitions. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm sure Paul Tergat is closely following the budding talent at the World Athletics Under 20 Championships. The five-day competition began Wednesday at the Kasarani Stadium in Nairobi, Kenya. About 1,000 athletes representing more than 110 teams are competing in Nairobi. How many athletes did Team Nigeria send to Kenya? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the editor of the Lagos-based newspaper Complete Sports, Dare Esan.
We have about 29 athletes representing Nigeria. I think this is even the largest contingent that we've had since the World Under 20 Championships began in Athens in 1986. So this is the largest that we have. We are competing in virtually all the relay events, and our strong goals, like the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the 400 meters, I think we have athletes in the discus. We have in the long jump. Yeah, that's also traditional to us because we've been winning medals in the long jump, especially at the Olympic level. So we have 29 athletes and we are competing in over 10 events. So this is really huge. I don't think we've competed in as many events in past editions like we are doing now. So this is the biggest for Nigeria so far.
What are the chances of Team Nigeria at the World Under 20 Athletics Championship?
I think our chances are very bright. If you remember, we've always done well at the World Junior Championship. Well, it used to be World Junior Championship. It's now World Under 20 Championship. It's actually the same because it's for under 20 events. You remember in 1986 at the inaugural edition, we won a couple of gold medals. Falila in the 200 meters, Sina Agwan in the 100 meters, Miriam Yali in the 200 meters. So we did pretty well, and two of them have gone on to become Olympic medalists. Falila Togunkoya, remember, 400 meters bronze in Atlanta with an African record, that is 6 of 60. Then Miriam Yali in the 200 meters. Then Falila was also there, anchoring the team in the 4x400 meters in Atlanta to win a silver medal. I think in the early 80s, we performed pretty well. We even set some records. I remember Fatima Yusu was so young. That was the year, I think, the 1990 in Plovdiv, if I'm not mistaken, that she won the 400 meters gold. And later that year, was it before or after? I can't really place it now. She also won for a Commonwealth gold medal in the 400 meters as an under 20. So that was really inspiring for a lot of Nigerian athletes. And since then, a lot of them have been doing well in the quarter mile. I remember that year, Charity Okpara was second. And if you remember what happened to Charity Okpara in 1998, she was the fastest quarter miler in the world when she ran 49.229. Yes, in 1988. So that was the year Nigeria was ranked number one and number two in the 400 meters in the world. You know, Falila Togunkoya was number one because of her performance. Then Charity was number two because of her performance. Because in terms of performance, she was actually number two, Falila Togunkoya. I think Falila had head-to-head, a 5-4 victory over her. So we've really actually produced a lot. Francis Obikwelu in 1996 in Sydney. And I think he was, if I'm not mistaken, either the first or the second to actually successfully come complete a sprint double at the World Junior Championships, and they've gone on to also win Olympic medals. So we've got a lot of them. We've got a lot of them. So it's been a good ground for us. And this one will not be any different because we have some top athletes in terms of ranking going to this event. The top list this year in the 100 meters, for example, Gosin Brumen is the most, I think, the top-ranked athlete with the absence of the Americans. I know there are two Americans in front of him, but the Americans are not going to be there. So if he lived up to expectation, he should come up with a medal. And just like DJ Aliu did in 1994 in Lisbon, Aliu won the 100 meters World Junior, and Ali went on to also win a bronze in the 4x1 at the Olympics. So Nigerians are already looking at this team as the next big team that will also help at the 2024 Olympics.
Do you have any message for Nigerians on the prospects of these young athletes?
I think Nigerians should just be hopeful that we are getting a new team that will bring back the whole glory. When I say the new team, most of the athletes that have won Olympic medals for Nigeria, that have won World Championship medals for Nigeria, actually graduated from this championship. Some of them did not win at the Cadet Championship, but they turned out to be Olympic gold medalists. They turned out to be Olympic silver medalists. They turned out to be World Championship silver medalists, World Championship gold medalists. Chioma Ajunwa was in this event, I think in 1990. She didn't win, but she went on to become an Olympic gold medalist for Nigeria. Blessing Okagbare was at this event in Beijing in 2006. She didn't win in the long jump, but 2 years later, she won silver at the 2008 Olympics. So, 2008, I mean. So, you can see that there's a lot of optimism in the air. So, Nigerians should be optimistic that we are producing a new set of athletes that will become like the Chioma Ajunwas, that will become like the Blessing Okagbares, that will become like the Falila to Koyas, the Mary Onyali, the Fatima Yusufs. So there is hope, there is optimism in the air. And with the current confirmation of the Tonoba Kokoa-led AFN board by World Athletics as the authentic AFN, I think things can only get better.
That's Dare Esson, the editor of the Lagos-based newspaper Complete Sports. And Dare spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including President Joe Biden defends his decision to withdraw American forces from Afghanistan, saying he was making good on his election campaign promise to end America's longest-running war in the country. Listen to Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Cameroonian basketball star Joel Embiid has signed a 4-year contract extension with the Philadelphia 76ers, reportedly worth $196 million. The deal will keep Embiid in Philadelphia through the 2026-2027 NBA season. Embiid wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Excited to continue working towards bringing a title home and eventually retire here." The 27-year-old Embiid was born in Yaoundé, Cameroon, where Tuesday's Africa Cup of Nations draw took place. In fact, Joel played football growing up, but he turned his attention to basketball as a young teenager, and that was certainly a good decision. Joel Embiid averaged more than 28 points and nearly 11 rebounds a game last season, probably his best season yet in the NBA. Embiid led Philadelphia to the best regular season record in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The 76ers lost in the second round of the NBA playoffs to the Atlanta Hawks. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks clinched their first NBA title in 50 years last month. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2021, the AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
In a city that has been starved for world titles, the Milwaukee Bucks won their first NBA championship since 1971 after beating the Phoenix Suns 105-98. The Bucks won the series in six games after dropping the first two in Phoenix. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the series MVP. He suffered a knee injury in the conference finals, and there was some doubt if he'd be healthy enough to play in the finals. He had 50 points in the title clincher. Antetokounmpo says there was nothing that was going to stand in his way.
I want to win a championship in Milwaukee. And, I'm going to do whatever it takes in order for me to win it. And we did it.
The Bucks trailed by five at halftime. Antetokounmpo had 20 third quarter points. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Milwaukee's head coach, Mike Budenholzer, praised his players.
We've been pushing. We've been trying to get better. The players embrace everything. They're amazingly coachable. They just take it and soak it in, and they make the best of it. They've done that, from day one this year. So I'm happy for the players.
Now we'll hear from a couple of those NBA champion Bucks players. Center Brooke Lopez scored 10 points and grabbed 8 rebounds in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Talk to us, Brooke.
See our guys fight back, make adjustments, and just keep that belief in one another. It's special, you know. That's not something that you get with every team. I've seen that through my 13 years in the league, that this team is absolutely one of a kind, and I'm fortunate and blessed to be a part of that.
Meanwhile, guard Chris Middleton says the Bucks showed their fighting spirit in lifting the NBA trophy.
They knocked us in the mouth the first two games, but I love the way we responded. We didn't give up on ourselves. Our home crowd was amazing. This whole playoff run, this whole season.
And while the Phoenix Suns came up short, star guard Devin Booker says he learned some valuable lessons.
I think we learned a lot just by being in it. You know, it was a lot of our first time in the playoffs, let alone the finals. You know, it was a great experience for us. I think we set a foundation and a base for our team.
Devin Booker traveled to Tokyo after the NBA Finals, and he won a gold medal with Team USA in the Olympic men's basketball tournament. It was the fourth consecutive Olympic gold medal for the USA men, and their 16th overall.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten, joins us now with a feature report on Olympic pole vault champion Armand Mondo Duplantis. Gwen says the Swedish-American athlete is ready to raise the bar and break his own world records. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Mondo Duplantis is the current world record holder in the pole vault, both indoors and outdoors, and he's just added a gold medal to his growing list of achievements. And while the 21-year-old is literally setting the bar high, he tells Reuters News competing on the Olympic stage was an experience of a lifetime.
The Olympics is the biggest meet in track and field, and by far. And so it's the most important meet of my life to this point, and it'll be the most important meet maybe I'll ever have. And I'm coming in as the favorite. All the pressure was on me, and it was kind of one of these things to where if I wasn't to go in there and win, then it's kind of like almost embarrassing, because everybody's been talking to me about it for the past year since it got postponed and I just broke the world record. And so everybody, you know, basically was just expecting me to go in there and win the gold. And, you know, that's kind of tough because it's still sports and anything can happen, and you still have to go out there, you still have to do it.
Duplantis won his gold medal in Tokyo with a winning height of 6.02 meters. And as if the gold medal wasn't enough, that same night, he tried to make history by raising the bar to 6.19 meters, 1 centimeter above his own world record. And he came so close. He tried to clear the bar on 3 attempts, but it wasn't meant to be. However, Duplantis says don't count him out too soon.
The first attempt felt really good. It felt like I was over it. And I thought I was going to be able to make it. I was actually surprised at how high I was over it in the beginning, because I never, you know, got my feet and my hips that high over, you know, a bar that high. It felt like so. It was. I mean, I guess it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to make it, and that I brushed a little bit on the way down on my chest. But it's a huge confidence booster for the future, because I feel like I have a lot of higher heights in store now, and I feel like I can make 6.19, 6.20. I can get into the 20s range. So, you know, it's a big confidence booster. And, you know, it is one of those meets to where at the end of the day, I still did win the Olympic gold. So I couldn't really complain that much, even though I would have loved to break the world record. But, you know, the jump itself was a huge confidence booster.
Duplantis' confidence in the sport began while growing up in the U.S. state of Louisiana. He was encouraged by his father, a former pole vaulter from New Orleans and two-time state champion. As a youth, Duplantis spent many summers in his mother's native country, Sweden, and chose to represent her country in Tokyo. And as Duplantis continues to compete internationally for Sweden, he says he wants to do all that he can to elevate the sport.
Win everything there is to win. I want to do it more times than anybody else has done it. But you know, if you know pole vault, if you know the history of pole vault, that's really, really big shoes to fill when you're following the likes of Renaud Lavillenie and Sergei Bubka, people that have won many, many global titles. You know, Bubka winning, I think, 6 or 7 more championship titles, and I haven't even won one yet. So I feel like I still have a really long way to go and a lot of things left for me to achieve. And so it's a really good start right now to my journey, but I think there's still a lot for me to go out there and do.
But Duplantis says winning Olympic gold is his greatest achievement to date.
I mean, I think the world record is definitely comparable, but there's just something about, you know, the Olympic gold medal that's you know, it's just different. It's really special, and nobody can ever take that away from me now. I mean, because you know, of course, I hope to break the world record a couple more times and go higher heights, and you know, whether I have the world record for a long time or it's broken next year, next week, whatever it may be, I don't know. But I mean, you can't take a medal away from me. Records can be broken, but you know, medals stay forever.
As Duplantis says, records can be broken, and his goal is to break his own world record several times in the very near future.
I want to break the world record more times, and I really do want to get into like the 6.20s. I want to jump 6.20, and I want to get, you know, because I just think 20 just sounds so good. It sounds so much higher than everything else. And so I think that sounds like kind of a level of its own right there, like into the 20s. And then after that, you know, I mean, I need to win the world championships, because I never won the world championships yet. I got second in 2019, of course, to Sam. So, you know, I had the world championships next year. And that's I guess, the biggest goal, especially going into the following year.
Well, we will keep our eye on Olympic champion Mondo Duplantis as he soars to new heights in the sport. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Tatiana McFadden says she hopes to win more gold medals at the Paralympics, which officially open August 24th in Tokyo, Japan. And that wraps up the August 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.